This recording was made in 1977 by David Hancock from Little Whitley. David was interviewing Ben Cooper, who worked at Whitley Court from around 1920 onwards.
And I started for Lord Dudley. And 1920, Lady Dudley was in Ireland and she got drowned. But as regards Lord Dudley, there was Lord Dudley, Lord Ednam, the twins, Lady Honor and Lady Marvis, that was his children. They were all very, very nice people, but we were treated just like serfs, you know. We had to touch our hat to them. If we met them a dozen times in a day, we had to touch our hat to them, you know. Lady Honor and Lady Marvis used to go down swimming in this bottom lake, in the Walford Lake, and they also used to come helping haymaking in their way. And of course when come shooting parties, it wasn't really a shooting party, it was more or less of a day's outing, walking around the estate and having lunch and a real do at night, you know. And I can't remember many of the people, but one of the main gentlemen, as I remember, was Earl de Grey, and there was another French titled gentleman, but I can't think of his name. Then I noticed, I was saying, 1920, Lady Dudley got drowned. She was sent back to Whitley to be buried, and she's buried up in a little private chapel at Great Whitley. Until about 4 years ago, and they removed her body, as also Lord Dudley, to Worcester Cathedral. Private burial ground now at the chapel in Great Whitley. There is only three of the Dudley family there. The one was Lord Ednam's, that was Lord Dudley's oldest son. Lord Ednam's wife, she got killed in the R-101 airship, as it the hills in Sussex. And she was sent and buried up there, and shortly after that, Lord Ednam's daughter died, and she was also sent up to that little chapel to be buried. But now at present, a matter of 3-4 years ago, I can't be into 12 months, Lord Ednam himself is dead, age 76. I go over on his story, really, because when Lord Dudley left Whitley Court, which is in 1921 when he had the big sale, he went to London to live, and he there met Gertie Miller, the actress, married her, and at the age of 87, Lord Dudley died, and his wife followed him shortly after, but she was only 76 years old. So the two twins, Lord Dudley's twins, I can't say anything about them because they never stayed at Whitley Court much at all. Where they, what became of them, it's no good me trying to think, because I don't know. My job then with Lord Dudley was in the gardens under the head gardener, which there were 22 of us in the gardens. But a day shooting, everyone in the gardens had to turn out as beaters, of course, you know.
Yeah.
But as I say, I was then, 1921, there was 8 days furniture sale when Lord Dudley sold up. I'm telling a lie over that. Sir Herbert Smith, 1921, Lord Dudley sold up the old estate. Sir Herbert Smith stepped in and bought it. But Sir Herbert Smith did not buy the outlying farms because Lord Dudley's stretched from the Markley Road right the way through Ockridge, Sinton Green, out to Grimley, down to Grimley Church, up the side of the river with Oldcastle, an Oldcastle farm, and all up this side. Yes, but Sir Herbert Smith only bought Whitley Court, the gardens, the big deer park, which was full of deer, well, full of deer, it wasn't full.
400 then,
but between 300 and 400 in the park, and all the deer, and for the court and the woods and the deer park, Sir Herbert paid £100,000. So then I carried on for Sir Herbert Smith, and I was still in the gardens for a bit, and then I was promoted. My job was rowing Sir Herbert about on the lakes fishing, or carrying his gun out shooting every day of the week, including Sundays mostly. And I stayed with Sir Herbert Smith until 1936. Then came the sale. Sir Herbert having two daughters and one son. Both the daughters had fell out with Sir Herbert. His son went off and got married and farmed at Cleverly at Ridge North. So Sir Herbert was a very lonely man. He sold Whitley Court and went back to his other big house, Blakebrook House at Kidderminster, which he'd always kept when he bought Whitley Court. Sir Herbert Smith's wife died before he came to Whitley Court. He's also passed away now, also his son. And the two daughters, I don't know what has become of them. And when Sir Herbert Smith sold up, a syndicate bought Whitley Court. And after the syndicate got hold of it, they split it up in sections and sold it here, there, 100 acres here, a couple hundred acres there. But the actual court and the gardens was bought by a demolition firm from Leicester. And when they got hold of it, the first thing they done was strip the lead off the roof. But over on the story again. Why Sir Herbert sold up was because there was a very, very small fire. Some folks was under the impression as Whitley Court was burnt down, which is the biggest mistake as ever anybody could make. Yeah. Because it was not. The bit of fire as was started down in the big kitchen underneath the butler's pantry. And above the butler's pantry was Sir Herbert Smith's private dining room. And those was the only three rooms as was damaged. I was up there at 8 o'clock the night of the fire, and I helped to salvage the furniture out of the ballroom, which was the next room as would have caught fire if it had been the end, the one end was burned. Stourport Fire Brigade came there, pulled by horses, and they had the fire under control in a matter of 2 to 3 hours. But what brings the actual court in ruins was the demolition firm stripping the lead off the roof, which is supposed to amount to 200 ton of lead. because Whitley Court was a mansion of 300 rooms, and the old roof was flat, and everything was sheeted over with lead, the chimneys and every mortar, window ledges and everything. When Collingtons had got what, which was the, which you don't mention any names, when the demolition firm had what they wanted, they turned round and sold it to a Mr. Davis from Ledbury, of Ledbury Preserves, and he bought the ruins then, which, well, they wasn't ruins then, but of course they soon would be. And later on, he got fed up with it. He turned it over to his son. And his son started a tinning factory up there, tinning fruit in the backyards, and deep litter fowl, and mushroom growing. And he carried on in partnership with Frank Gill from Wychenford. And Frank Gill went out of it, and Davis couldn't carry on by himself, so he sold all his stuff, and Mr. Barrington from Stratford-on-Avon, antique dealer, bought the court in the gardens, and he's the present owner now. Oh, there wasn't fridges. They're there now. I don't know whether you've been up the drive, have you?
I have seen them, yeah.
Those kewels?
Yeah, little towers sticking out the ground.
Well, those are as two as Wigginton had put on.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know whether you, those kewels was that shape, wasn't they?
That's it, yeah.
Well, you know what them were, do you? Well, they're off a up drawing
firm. Yes, they look like that.
That's what they were.
Yes, yeah.
But underneath there, I don't know whether you've looked down in there.
There's a load of tins and things in there now.
I know, filled up with rubbish.
Yeah.
Well, them holes are about 25 foot deep.
Mm.
And there used to be a steel ladder up to the wall. I don't know whether the ladder was there, if you look down. Oh, it had gone then. And in the winter, when the lakes froze over, the woodmen, or well, any of the men, were sent, break the ice, collect it in the boat, bring it and put down those holes ready for summer use for Lord, for the, well, for the use in Whitley Court. That's what them were for. And if you've seen one empty, you didn't, did you?
No.
There's a drain pipe, that's what they built up on that bank, and then in the bottom there's a drain that's took all the water, as it, see, for the summer when it thawed the drain, and it emptied into that lake. There's a boathouse there, isn't there? Did you see that old boathouse?
That,
oh, that's in the head of the lake, almost opposite these things. Yes, that's what those were for. That was for ice, used as ice in the court.
Yeah.
Lord Dudley's time. Because when Lord Dudley kept it, you know, it was one mass parties and dear, you know what I mean. It was always something going on. And here's a very, very strange thing, but I can't just remember the date, but there was a party going on, and they had a musician from Worcester. This was back before 1920. And towards midnight, a taxi, driving him back to Worcester. And going down the drive, he skidded off the drive and hit that tree. The tree is there now, and killed this musician. And that's a very funny thing, because the lady whose husband it was went to Australia, and about 2 years ago she came over here for holiday, over to Worcester, and she put advert in the paper, would anybody that remembers a accident up Whitley Court in which, what was his name, got killed, would they get in touch with her? Well, I happened to see it, so I did get in touch with her. On Sunday I went to see her. When I got there, she was out. I left a message with the people she was staying with, and the following night she came out here in a car to see me and asked me, because there was a rumour that he'd got a girl in the car with him and they was acting the fool, see, and the car turned over, but that meant, to my, what I can remember, it's a long time ago, what I can remember, that was nothing to do with it, because just coming down that bank and there were stones and it was frozen and the car just skidded off and hit the tree. That's what I should always say, how it happens. As regards any girl, I never heard anything, and I was, should have been one of the first the next morning to see where the accident, well, the taxi was still there. But I got the lady's name now, on the, but I shan't advertise that.
Yeah.
In the, because she's wrote to me since she's been back in Australia, but unfortunately, I destroyed the letter and the, never saved her address.
Right.
Also, I was going to write to her.
Yeah.
But it didn't come off, so. Till I get her address, I could by going to her friends at Worcester, but I just haven't. As it didn't long ago since she wrote to me, I haven't just had the chance to go and see her friend. And so I get the address and just write to her, you know. She did tell me how old she was. She's a tremendous age. Well, tremendous age. She needn't be any older than I am. Definitely. I'm 74, so she needn't be any more.
Yeah.
But anyhow, that's... When I started for Lord Dudley, I did not go straight into the gardens. I started on one of Lord Dudley's farms under a farm bailiff. And my wages was from 6:30 in the morning till 4 o'clock on a Saturday for 7 shillings and 6 pence per week. And Mr. Averill, Leonard Averill, always used to give me 8 and 6 a week because he said I was a good little laddie. And then after a bit, I went in the gardens. Yes, that was the wage. And 2 pence an hour on a Sunday for coming back and looking after the horses or feeding the cattle, whichever it was 2 pence an hour overtime. But then, well, everything's the same then as it is now, if you can understand, only you didn't get much money them days, but prices of food was different. So, see, it's all had to increase together. Now, for instance, we lived at Little Whitley. We used to get on the bus at Little Whitley every Saturday night when we was young chaps and go to Worcester. And Mr. Owen, and this Mr. Owen up the road, he'll tell you that, he used to wait for us to come out of the theatre at Worcester at 11 o'clock at night. Threepence a return from Little Whitley post office. That was 3 8 pence each way. Yes, it's true. I don't know. Actually, he's only talking about it. He came up the other night to have a chat, and we were only talking about. Yes. Oh, yes. And In Lord Dudley's time, there were in the kitchen garden, there was 22 gardeners, and the head gardener had never done a stroke of work. He just dressed up and walked about like a gentleman. There was 8 gamekeepers, including Mr. Braid, who was head keeper, in the woods a bit, but he did not work at Whitley Court long. Because Bennington and me was about the same age, and I knew him as well as I, you know, I knew my own brother, so he did not work up at Whitley Court much at the time, but old Jim Minton did, and he lived, you know where he lived, I have 2 cottages here now, where Fido lives, you know, and another old keeper was old George Lewis, and he lived in this little cottage here now against Ockridge Lane, you know, this end where Stella lives.
Yeah.
That was a keeper's cottage, and old George Lewis lived there. And Mr. Jimmy Stewart was another keeper, and he lived in the top lodge at Whitley. And McAdams was also another keeper, and he lived on the Shelsley Hill. And little Mr. Tommy Jones has lived at Little Whitley. He was also a keeper. Braid, Stewart, Jones, McAdam, Mr. Hinton, Mr. Lewis. That's about all I can call to mind now. But Mr. Braid, he was the head keeper when Lord Dudley sold up in 1921. He was transferred to Imlay Hall at Dudley. And he was keeper for Lord Ednam, because that was Lord Ednam's estate, was Imlay Hall at Dudley. Mr. Braid, he went there, but he wasn't there long before he died. But he's got a son now. It's a funny thing you mention it, because his son knows Mr. Bridgewater, and he's coming over. He wants to, being as I knew his father, and I knew him when he went to school, he was coming over to have a chat. He hadn't been over yet, and Mr. Bridgewater got talking to him, and I think it was Wombourne, that's up the Black Country, you know. Said about he used to live around here, but of course I remember him, he was only just going to school then. Yeah. Then of course, apart from the keepers, there was the woodmen, Ned Pike, Ted Bullock, Jim Toiler, Jack Toiler. Oh dear, I didn't know them all, but that's 4 as I knew very, very well. And then Lord Dudley owned, and he does now, because it was, I see where Lord Ednam died, all the properties he owned and was interested in, the Baggeridge Colliery Company is in the Dudley's family. And down at the bottom of the Lenchford Bank by the Yacht Club, there used to be a coal wharf there. And it was all fenced in with 8-foot fence. And they used to bring a barge load of coal down the river, which carried 40 tons at a time. The woodmen were sent there to unload it. Used to carry it across a plank in a, what they call a skip, one man in front and one behind, and coal in a kind of hand barrel, if you understand my meaning. And a lady has lived in that cottage, but I can't think of her name now. She had the key of the gates. And that coal was used to supply Whitley Court. And Lord Dudley also found the eat-in for the schools and all the churches on his estate. And it was the farmers, when it come a wet day, It was too wet to get on the land with the horses. The job was to go down to the Lenchford and all coal up to Whitley Court. And the farms round about, that's Colbatches and Bradley's and Mottershed, and anybody as hadn't got, as was renting a farm off Lord Dudley, as hadn't got anything for his men to do that day if it was wet, they could also go and fetch a load of coal and take it to whichever church or school was necessary, and then at rent day, so they received their money. Rent day was every 6 months, and the rent office was up at Great Whitley, where Mrs. Bruin lives. Well, I think she did, and it really is called the White House, but that was Lord Dudley's estate office. And Mr. Bartlett was the estate agent. One day, just before Lord Dudley sold up, when the stuff was being catalogued on the farms, Mr. Averill seen me, came to me, and he said, "Have you got a bicycle?" And I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Well," he said, "I got a little journey for you tomorrow." He said, "And I want you to be up at the home farm," that's where Mr. Averill lived, up at Great Whitley under the hill. "I want you to be up at the home farm in the morning at 5 o'clock. He said, "And bring Harry Norman with you." And we arrived up there about 5 o'clock, and the little job was to walk 6 of the best dairy cows from the home farm to Imlay Hall at Dudley. We set out with our bikes and we drove these 6 cattle. I got the other side, Kidderminster, I was the oldest, so of course I was gaffer. We got the other side, Kidderminster, along Cookley Road, where that long wall is. Mm-hmm. And they started lagging. They had a job to put one foot in front of the other. So I let them rest on the roadside, and I went across to a farmhouse. I could take you to it now. And had a word with the farmer. I told him, I said, they're absolutely thirsty and tired and hungry. Could I bring him in his field and give him an hour's rest? Which he very kindly said I could do. And he took Harry Norman and me up to his farmhouse and gave us a lump of bread and cheese and a drink of cider. And we let them cattle stay there for an hour and a half. And then, round or soon after tea time, at night, so we arrived at the home farm at Imlay Hall. We didn't have anything up there of anybody. So we jumped on our bikes and we pushed bike all the way back to Little Whitley. Arriving at Little Whitley just after 10 o'clock at night. And for that big day's work, we had extra shilling each in our wage. Mr. Tommy Ward tried to find out, but you know where Payne's got that big white corn dryer,
yeah.
Don't you?
Yeah.
Well, up across there where that copper beach is, whenever our chaps were ploughing and working the ground, especially at one time, Bert Priest got his scuffles under a water pipe and pulled it out of the ground about 20 foot length and then broke it off. And Mr. Tommy Ward for everlasting sending his men up on that patch of ground to keep pulling slabs of stone. So when he tried to find out if, years ago, there wasn't either some buildings or a building in place of Whitley Court, but he traced it back 160 years, but he couldn't, Mr. Ward did, but he couldn't find out even then whether there was, you know, something built there, but there definitely was, because they used to turn up them what they call square slab, flagstone. You remember that, about as big as one of these, you know, and almost square. There was loads and loads of them kept coming up on top of ground. Lord Foley, he was buried in the underneath the church. You knew that, did you, in the crypt?
What, the church, Little Whitley?
No, Great Whitley.
Oh, Great Whitley.
But the parish church at Whitley Court.
Yeah.
That is a parish church. The other's only the up at Great Whitley. That's only the, what they call the chapel, see.
Mm.
Yes. That's when my heir used to stand up the highest. When I was with Sir Herbert Smith, this was, though. Sir Herbert Smith found Eton for the church. And underneath the church was some steps, and you went right down into the bowels of the earth. On every Saturday in the winter, on a Saturday morning, my job was to go and light that big boiler, keep it burning all day. On Saturday night, around about 9 or 10 o'clock in the winter, I used to have to go down there and stoke it up. It was pitch dark, there was no electric light down there. Then there was this long passage that went under, whether you've been under there.
No, you can't get under there, no.
Not now. At one time you could have walked straight in. And as you went, you were my big boiler just inside. Then there was this passage just turned round right-handed.
Mm.
And in the a big a place half as big as this kitchen was Lord Foley's coffin in the wall.
Mm.
He was also removed to Worcester Cathedral, but oh, it should have been, as near as I can tell you, 15 or could be more years ago. But when I used to go down to stoke that fire up, everything I touched, it echoed up that passage. I used to keep my eye on up that passage and thinking somebody was coming down, and I used to... Yes. Everything I touched, it echoed along there, you know. And that was a boiler that used to hold about 200 weight of coal, you know, and I'd got to go late Saturday night. Otherwise, the fire would have been gone down before church in the morning, and then, because they had church every morning, every Sunday night, in them days when Canon, the Reverend Roland Wilson was rector then. Canon Wilson, as he was known as. Yes. And Sir Herbert Smith was a big churchgoer. Of course, you walked, in them days, you walked out of Whitley Court straight into the church. See, it was connected, you see. And... it was all lit by paraffin. There was two men at Whitley Court, and their job was regular day in and day out cleaning and trimming the paraffin lamps in Whitley Court. That was their job. And the church was also lit with paraffin lights. It was Sir Herbert Smith that introduced the electric. He had two big gas producing engines and his own storage cells. And Sir Herbert Smith, because the mains hadn't come through then, the mains didn't come there 1929, when the mains electricity came from the power station. So Sir Herbert Smith lit the church, and he also lit Whitley Court. Yes. When I was with Sir Herbert Smith, I told you that I was a not privileged person, but that was my job to turn the fountains on when Sir Herbert was feel like a day at home.
Mm-hmm.
He used to go and sit on that big veranda, and I used to, my job was to go and turn the fountains on for him. The fountains was gravity fed from the washing pool lake. That's Payne's
yeah.
Lake. I don't know whether you...
Yes, they had big pipes and things.
Have you heard of that?
Yes.
Oh. The pipes is all that big. And up there, and the slab of stone is still there now, there's a tremendous turnkey. You turn the water on. Then you could go down underneath, and the little place where you walk down is on Payne's ground. Have you seen that iron grating?
No,
eh? Oh, haven't you?
No.
Well, the environment people have put a padlock on it.
Mm.
But it was just iron railing. You pulled up, then this iron ladder, you went down, and you could walk right underneath the big fountain and right round it, and you could stop various water as you wanted to by these big by the taps underneath, see? Because when you turned it on up at the washing pool lake, everything that was in the fountain was water. You understand what I mean?
Mm.
And
yeah.
If Serber didn't want it all on, well, then there's great big brass taps down underneath. But the passage only went just as you could walk upright, right round the fountain, and back out again. When it was sold, Sir Herbert Smith's, when the place was destroyed, a firm from the Black Country destroyed all the pipes underneath for scrap.
Mm.
And if anybody, you can go down there now if you could find the right day. The environment people had let you go down. And all the pipes you will see all along the walls have just been sledgehammered and broke and got out for scrap. And I know, well, I was down under there because the environment people, it's up there now, and they've been up there now 2 years, they've been sending down to ask Mr. Edwards if I could go up and tell him this and tell him that and all the other, see. So one day I thought, just to refresh my memory, I asked them for the key, and I had to walk down under, you know, see what they'd done there, and you'll find that everything as they could move has been smashed and carried out.
Mm.
And I showed the environment people what really, I was up there, all one day, the environment people, if it could have been done, was going to start the fountains again. And they wanted to know the water track, see, where the water came from. And of course, when I told them and showed them where it came from and showed them the, what had been grubbed up and all smashed, well, and all the hydrants round the court, that was for firefighting, the hydrants were. And they scrapped it on the head in a minute when they could see it at a cost. Oh, good Lord. Not hundreds, but thousands upon thousands to restore the water under them fountain.
Mm.
Thousands. All out now, you know, don't you?
No, they...
Well, they've had bulldozers inside the buildings, actually, and all those tremendous stacks of bricks as it came down off them two towers. All that's been shoveled out, and it's as clean as this floor now.
Oh yes.
It doesn't. It shows you on there. There's trees growing in there, doesn't it?
Yeah, there was.
But there isn't now. All that's gone.
Ah.
Mm. Oh, absolutely, all that's gone. Every bit of it. Have you looked over the church wall? Been in the churchyard and looked over that that I wore.
Yeah, and the down below this big
that
drop.
That was the kitchens and the freezer places.
Down there. Yeah.
Yes. That was all in the basement. A game larder, where they kept the fish was all separate, where they kept the pheasants and the butcher's meat, it was separate compartments, see? And that's where a lot of this ice was used, was in those places, see? And then there was a tremendous kitchen. Good Lord, I could put this, you could put this bungalow in the kitchen. Then, them days, like, see, tremendous place. And a tremendous wine cellar, but that was even still lower down, steps. Lower down. For Lord Dudley, there was 20 servant girls, 2 butlers, a footman, and 2 page boys. No, that was for Lord Dudley. But Sir Herbert didn't want that staff. He did keep a butler, a page, footman and a page, I should say. And the rest, of course, he cut the servant girls down and he only kept 14 girls and a housekeeper and his private secretary. They'd done their own laundry in at Whitley Court. They'd done proper up-to-date laundry. Mr. Fred Rowley from Martley, that was his job, keep the water, the boilers going, keep the water hot. Sir Herbert Smith had got a carpet factory in Kidderminster.
Oh, yes, he had a fine collection of tapestries and things, didn't he?
Yes, and in the First World War, Sir Herbert changed his factory over to making khaki or clothes for the soldiers in the First World War, and that's for the good of what he'd done, that's why he was knighted. Else, until then, he was just Herbert Smith. That's why Sir Herbert was knighted, was for the good he'd done for the. And he used to play the harp. Wait a minute, is it the harp? I'm bound to be, the big thing is standing, you know. It is the harp, isn't it? Yes, of course it is. He brought that with him to Whitley Court. It used to stand in the front hall. A tremendous piece of furniture. Well, I thought it was any road. Yes. But that's why Sir Herbert was knighted, was for doing the good as he done for the army.
What about Lord Dudley? What did he do?
I could not say. I've no idea at all, only that when Lord Edenham died recently, as you might say, it was all in the paper what he was, you'd never believe it. He was got his nose into every big firm, you know. And Baggeridge Colliery Company, of course, that was the first one, because I expect that's their biggest. But steelworks and did state all, mostly up the Black Country. President of this and, oh dear, and director of the other. Died a very prosperous man, but I don't know, because I've never seen Lord Edenham's will in the paper. Make any difference. Sort of go and play for the West Bromwich Albion.
Ah. When was that?
Oh, good Lord. Whew. I forget what I was sent up there for, but yes, sir. Pardon, sir, but he got a punch ball on the end of a. Have you seen him on the end of a bamboo cane?
Yeah.
And just for fun. Oh, of course, I went up with the electrician to do a electric fitting in the wall. And punch ball, and I took with my fist of this punch, you know, this punch ball, but I didn't hit it. It's quite square, you know, and it came back and it hit me so in the face, and it knocked me over the other side of the room. Sir Herbert was a very, although he weighed 16, 17 stone, he was a very athletic man. He was. You could see him if you happened to be out on the front lawn, the front gardens, in the morning, he's stripped, you know, this punch ball. Oh yes, he's a very fit man. Very fit man, Sir Herbert Smith was. As I told you, I was a bit not above the others in that way, but of a night in the winter, Sir Herbert would leave orders or tell me himself if he didn't see me there, that he wanted me back there about 10 o'clock at night. And at 10 o'clock at night, I used to turn up and he'd come out, or I'd go to the office for him. Come on, Cooper, we're going netting tonight. And I used to get the nets, two nets, 100 yards each, and go with Sir Herbert all over them parks, put these nets down, catch rabbits. Yes. Till we've been there till 1 and 2 o'clock in the morning. I used to get to run the nets out, and Sir Herbert would go round one way, and I used to go round the other, run the rabbits into the net, get them out. I used to leg them together, hang them up in the trees, and there was a motor sent for them next morning to collect them up. And many and many a night was Sir Herbert at that job. Yes. And fishing him, rowing him about on the lakes. In this lake up here now, what belongs to Mr. Hedward, that's where the biggest fish, as I can remember, well, I know to the biggest as ever was caught while I was with Sir Herbert, and it was a pike, weighed 18 and a half pounds. I've heard some rumours about other clever fishermen getting heavier, bigger ones, but I should never believe it till I see them. Sir Herbert was a good fisherman, and Lord, you know, if it was nice and hot, he used to sit out on that lake, oh good Lord. And the butler, if he wasn't into his lunch, the butler had to bring his lunch down to him. I used to have to row to the side and pick the lunch up, and mine as well, and Sir Herbert, we had some big, well, they're more like big flats, but they're very near the length of this. Sir Herbert had sit on one side, and I used to sit on the other end. And, oh, yeah.